I grew up as a missionary kid in northeastern Brazil, then moved back to the States and became a pastor's kid. So I have been around ministry since before I was born. I was born into a family on deputation, so I've been around ministry my whole life. And so this theme that you guys have this year, servants rejoicing in God's goodness, that's been a theme that I've tried to live my whole life. I've been able to see and experience God's goodness in Brazil as a missionary kid, and then in the States as a pastor's kid, now myself as a pastor, I've experienced God's goodness. And so we're going to look at that today. And here's how I'm going to give you the outline of what we're going to do, and I'm going to fly through it. I've got my timer going, and I see the clock, and I know y'all want lunch. It is Friday. You're ready for the weekend to start. But so here's what I'm going to do. We're going to read through it real quick. I'm going to give you my 3 points. And yes, I did alliterate my 3 points. My wife shook her head at me just like, really, really? I said, yes, I have to. I have to alliterate my 3 points. And then we're just going to walk through verse by verse, and then I'm going to send you guys on to lunch. Sound good? All right, so Psalm 63. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. That's where we're going to be this morning. We're going to go through the first 8 verses of Psalm 63. But here's the 3 things we're going to be looking at. The first one we're going to be looking at is a longing for God. The second thing we're going to look at is lifting our eyes and our hands in praise to God. And then our third one is going to be looking back at the goodness of God. Okay? 3 alliterated points, pretty simple, right? So let's dive right in. We're going to go ahead and read through all 8 verses, and then we'll break it down. So, Psalm 63, verse 1. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands and in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. Let's pause for a moment, go to prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that as I seek to bring your word to these students and staff, Lord, may you speak through me. May it not be my words or my thoughts, but may it be you who communicates. Lord, help me to stay out of the way, and may your name be lifted up and glorified today, Lord. Lord, help us as we dive into your word to see the truths you have for us, and help us to take hold of those and change how we live our lives so that we would better live out your will and that we would more experience your goodness, Lord. Lord, bless our time, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so verse 1, a longing after God. David here, he makes that pretty clear, doesn't he? He's longing after the Lord. He starts out by saying, early will I seek thee. Who here are morning people? Do we have morning people in the room? I am so sorry for all of you. No, I am not a morning person one bit. 8 a.m. classes killed me, okay? We did them. It was not fun. But I am not a morning person. I heard it said recently, and it rung true. It said, you know, parenthood makes you a morning person, the same way that being chased by a mountain lion makes you a runner, okay? And I hold to that wholeheartedly because I am not a morning person, and as Coach Lorch will attest, I am not a runner. I played for him for 4 years, and he's like, you'll start like running eventually. Coach, you were wrong. I still don't like running. Still don't do it. Try to avoid it at all cost. But David here, he's talking about this early, I will seek thee. It's not just this, I get up early in the morning to seek the Lord. It has this sense of urgency. When he wakes up, that's the first thing he wants in the morning. He wants to spend time with the Lord, right? That's his focus. He's early, I'll seek thee. I'm ready to be in the presence of God, right? What's the first thing we think of when we get up? sadly, I'll tell you what mine is. Get up. All right, got to go get that cup of coffee. I'm a coffee drinker. I'm ready for my coffee first thing in the morning. But here David is saying, first thing, when I'm up, I'm ready to seek the Lord. That is the desire of my heart. And then he builds on that illustration. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. His soul wants that time with God. Do we thirst for God? When we think of a physical thirst, right? Let's think about a physical thirst. When you're thirsty, what's on your mind? Getting a drink of water, right? Also, I'm going to pause real quick. I'm probably going to ask a question and expect a response. You don't have to. I was a youth pastor for 3.5 years. It's kind of stuck in my head of like asking questions and getting interactions. So sorry, I'll try to keep up with that. But when we're thirsty, your first thought is, I need a drink of water. You're not thinking, oh man, I really need to study for that Reinhardt exam. Or you're not thinking, oh, I really should probably move my laundry from the washer to the dryer because I set that in yesterday. That's not where our brain is, right? When we're thirsty, the thing you want is a drink of water. The thing that will quench that thirst, that will satisfy that thirst. And what David is saying is he says, my soul, my inner being is thirsty for God. There's nothing else that can take the place of God. There's nothing that can satisfy me but God. What a longing he has for the Lord. He wants that time with the Lord and he is going to do what it takes to get it, right? And then he continues on and he says, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and weary land where no water is. His spiritual longing, the longing of his soul, is affecting his body. Have we ever experienced that? Where our soul was hurting to the point that our body felt it? That's what David's saying. He says, my soul is so thirsty for the Lord, and my body is weak. My body is weary. What a longing for the Lord. That's something that we should be desiring of, isn't it? A longing so strong for a communion with the Lord, for time with the Lord, that it affects our physical body because we want to be with the Lord so badly. May we be servants who seek God with all of our being, heart, mind, soul, and body. Now, I told you we're just going to walk through verse by verse. So, we're going to look at verses 2 through 5 now. We've looked at a longing for the Lord, but now let's look at lifting our eyes and our hands in praise to the Lord. So verses 2 through 5, I'm going to read them again so I don't get too distracted here. To see thy power and thy glory, verse 2, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. So David is now talking about where he's looking and where he's praising the Lord. So he starts out by talking about God's character, to see the power and God's glory as he's seen in the sanctuary. Now, when David's talking about that, when I read the Bible, I try to put myself where the author is, right? Now, in this particular psalm, where's David? David's in the wilderness running for his life, right? So he's not in a good spot to start out. And now David's talking about seeing the glory and the power of the Lord. So I picture David, let's find a cave. He's off in a cave, and he's just standing outside the cave, and he's just looking up. He's just wanting to see the Lord's power and the Lord's glory. And then he says, as I have seen in thy sanctuary, it's kind of like going back to the idea of when he was worshiping with the people of Israel, when they were making those sacrifices, that time of fellowship and worshiping God, right? But David's out here, he's looking. He wants to see the power and the glory of God. He's looking up. Now, does stopping and looking up into the sky, do we see God when we look up into the sky? No. But we see God's handiwork, right? We see his creation. But what does looking up do? It takes us away from what we see out here. It changes our perspective. It changes our focus. It takes our mind and makes us look at something else, and it draws our focus somewhere different, right? So let's picture David. He's in the wilderness. He's running for his life, and he's just like, I want to see the Lord. So he's just looking up. He's like, Lord, I just want to see your glory and power. I want to experience that like I did when I was able to worship with your people. I miss that. I need that. He's changing his focus to be focused on God. He's lifting his eyes. And then as he continues on, he talks about because of God's loving kindness being better than life, his lips are going to praise God. Okay, so we've pictured David. He's out there in the wilderness. He's looking up and he's now saying, because of your character, your loving kindness, my lips will praise you. This is an outward showing of his love for God. It's an expression of what he feels. Now, we all know this, but we're going to think about it again. Is it easy to praise God when things are good? Yeah, it's a lot easier, isn't it? What about when things are bad? A little bit harder to praise God. Maybe easier to cry out to God for help, right? But when things are difficult, it's harder to praise God. But that's what David is doing right here. He is praising God no matter his situation. Now, why would he be praising God when things are bad? Because the Bible tells him to? But yeah, the Old Testament commanded that praise, right? But he's praising God because God doesn't change. Our circumstances don't matter when it comes to worshiping and praising God. Because it's not about us, right? Our praise and our worship is not us. It's about the God who we serve. So David has given us that example. He's saying, you know, I'm thinking on God, I'm looking to him, and I'm praising him with my lips so that others around me can hear. Does it have more of an effect? Let's look at an example. So the Olympics. Who likes the Olympics right now? Do we have any fans of the Winter Olympics? I look at it and I go, wouldn't do any of that. It's too cold. I don't like the cold. But in the Winter Olympics, let's think about an Olympic athlete. They just win a gold medal. They're up on stage. They're getting their medal and they're, you know, interviewing them. You know, who do you want to thank? And an Olympic athlete says they want to praise God for giving them the ability to do what they did. Is that a good thing? Yeah, that's a good thing. But does that have as much of an impact or an effect on us as a person who just experienced great loss, the loss of a loved one, someone who is just broken, praising God? Which one has a greater effect on us? The second one. Seeing a person that is broken but relying on God has a greater effect than someone who's at the top of the world, right? And that's where David is. He is broken. He is running. And he's saying, I will praise the Lord. I will make my praise known to those around me. I will use my lips to let them know. Wow. Isn't that something we need a little bit more of in our lives? Yes. Well, next, he talks about, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Bless the Lord as he lives. No matter what's going on, he will bless the Lord. He will praise the Lord. He's going to lift his hands to praise God. Now, I personally, this is me, I'm not a hand raiser. I grew up a Baptist missionary kid and a Baptist pastor's kid, so I'm not there. I'm working on it. We're getting the hands about right here, is about as far as we've gotten. But when David says he's praising the Lord, he's lifting up his hands in thy name. That's not just he's not just lifting his hands up because he's praising. He's lifting his hands up. He's saying, God, I need you. He's reaching. He's crying out to God. He's saying, God, you are amazing. I'm giving you everything. Isn't that a great visible sign to those around them? We're picturing David in that cave. He's at the mouth of the cave. He's looking up to heaven. He's crying out to God. He's praising God. Now he's lifting his hands. What do you think the people with him were thinking? They're probably sitting there going, what is he doing? They might get a little closer to hear what he's saying. And then when they hear what he's saying, they're going, he's praising. They're trying to kill him. They're trying to take this man's head. And he's out here lifting his hands to the heavens and saying, God, you are awesome. You are powerful. I will bless you with all of my life. I will worship you with everything I have. Ooh. That's challenging for me when I just stand there like this. I'll be honest. I got to work on that, all right? Next, we're going to continue. Now, it is 11:30, so I'm going to give you a little food illustration because why not? It's lunchtime, right? It's almost lunchtime. Get you hungry. I know some of you shaking your head, right? I learned this one from Dr. Rinker in his class. I had him in class, and he would always put up pictures of a sandwich on Tuesdays and Thursdays at like 12, and we're all like, come on, we're hungry. So, looking down at verse 5, my soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now, who here are food people? Do we have any food people here? Okay, good. This is what I like to see. I'm with you. I love food. I worked in the kitchen while I was here pretty much all 4 years. I love to cook. What does marrow and fat in food do? I'll answer that. Flavor, okay? Fat is flavor. I love fat in food. It's good. Not good for me. My doctor has gotten on me about that a little bit already, but it is delicious. But this marrow, it's talking about it's a richness. You can only have but so much of it because it's so strong and so rich. And then when he's talking about this fat, it's the same thing. It's this flavor, it's this richness. You can't have but so much of it. It fills you. It takes over all the other flavors. And when he says his soul will be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, he's saying my soul will be satisfied with the greatest thing, the best, the most flavorful. I'm going to be full. It's going to satisfy me. It's all that I want. I'm looking at my notes, and I'm going to skip an illustration on pulled pork. You're welcome. Okay, we're going to just keep going. I wanted to use that, but we're just going to keep going because I'm getting hungry now. But David, and then he says, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. David is saying, my soul's going to be full, and I'm going to praise you with a joyful countenance, right? I'm going to be joyful, even though they're trying to kill me. Because of the Lord, I am satisfied, and I will joyfully praise God. We need more of that in our lives, don't we? To be able to praise God and be joyful, even when things are not looking good. All right, now continuing on. Last point. Again, Baptist preacher, that means nothing, okay? That just means nothing on the timetable. It's just last point. That's all it means. So now we're going to be seeing how David is looking back at what God has done. So verse 6. When I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. David is talking about looking back and remembering the things that God has done. Has God done a lot for David up until this point? Yes, right? He's already faced Goliath. He's already been made king. He's now running for his life, right? He's been through a lot. He's done a lot, but God has done so much for him. Now, when he says, I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, how many of you like to study in the like absolute dead quiet of your room? Like it has to be completely quiet, no movement, no noise, okay, a few of us. How many of you are like, if something's not moving and there's not noise in the background, I can't focus? How many are that person? Yeah, me, right? But what David's saying here is he says, when I am in the quiet, all the distractions of life, when I'm in my bed, all these things that are going around, when I'm in the quiet of my bed, and I meditate on God in the watches of the night, all through the night, that's the time that he's taking to focus and remember the things God has done. When there are no distractions, when there are no things moving around, he's focusing and taking that time, not just to remember, but to what? Meditate. Bring back to his mind. Think it over, over and over again. To keep that thought in his head, right? It's good to remember things, but it's even better to remember and then meditate on. Because that's what David's doing with what God has done. He's thinking back and holding on to those things. No distractions, just pure focus on God. Now, verse 7, he's talking about the things that he is remembering. He says, God has been my help. He's looking back. Can we say that God has been David's help? Yeah. David would not have made it very far without God's help, right? So David is his help. He's thinking back to those things. And then he paints this picture of God as this bird with its wing out, right? He says, therefore, in the shadow of thy wing will I rejoice. So he's thinking back, this is what you've done for me, how you've led me, protected me, cared for me. And he's given us that image of a wing. He says, I'm being able to find refuge, safety, peace under your wing because you're protecting me and caring for me, right? And he says, therefore, in that place, I will rejoice. I will sing out praises and I will rejoice because of what God has done. Wow. When was the last time we thought back about what God has done for us, hidden away to meditate on it, and then stopped and gone, look at how God has cared for me, guided me. And then the response to that should be what? Rejoicing, right? When we look at what God has done, our hearts should be pushed directly to rejoicing. Because God is with us when? All the time. He's always there. And that should cause us to rejoice because we can find peace and safety under his wing. And then verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. That idea of followeth hard after kind of has the idea of like sticking close or almost being glued to. I kind of picture it as like a parent walking and their child following them. Thankfully, my kid is not walking. I am not mentally prepared for that. Okay, she's 7 months. She's rolling right now, and that's already freaking me out enough. But you picture a parent walking, and their child is like, I'm going to, you know, follow in their footsteps, and they're trying to be as close as they can. You know, picture a little toddler kind of right behind them, but they're so close, they're like tripping on your leg, right? They're like that close. That's what David's saying. He says, my soul is as close as I can get it to God. I'm right there. I'm trying to be up against him. I'm following hard after him. That's where I want to be because that's where he finds that joy, that peace. That's where he's able to rejoice in what God has done. And then lastly, God's right hand upholds him. And we know if God is holding, what can take us away, right? If God's right hand is there, God is holding on to him, he's good to go. And that's my 3 points, guys. We're almost done. Now we're to the conclusion. Again, Baptist preacher means nothing. So, why would I want to share Psalm 63 with you guys today? One, it's because I wanted to study out Psalm 63, because if you ask people that know me well, I love studying through the Psalms. I love teaching on the Psalms. When I was a youth pastor, the kids about kicked me out because I stuck in the book of Psalms for like 6 months. They're like, that's too long. And I'm like, guys, I have so much more. So much more. All right. But I wanted to share it with you because I want us to all rejoice in God's goodness. And David gave us an example of getting to that place, right? Longing after God, lifting our eyes to God, lifting our hands in praise, and then looking back at what God has done for us. He gave us that example of how we can experience the goodness of God. Because when we long for God, where is he? He's there. When we lift our hands in praise to him, he's there. And when we look back at all the things that have happened in our life, God is there. Isn't that amazing? Shouldn't that bring us to what? Rejoicing. Yeah. That's where it should take us because God is always with us. He should cause us to be rejoicing in him because of what he's done. Now, I give you that because that's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you. But you guys are all here at a school preparing for ministry. So you have to be fed. You have to grow. But our job is to share that, right? We're to pass that on to others, to encourage others. Now, stole a quote from a French author. I'm going to attempt to pronounce his name. I apologize in advance. Any of you, if you speak French, catch me later words, and please tell me how to pronounce this because I've got no chance. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Sure, close enough. He once wrote about building ships, and he said, if you want to build a ship, don't just drum up the men to gather the wood, divide the work, and give orders. You can get a ship built that way, but he said that's not the best way to do it. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. Now let's take that and apply it to us. Our role, you're preparing for ministry. My role is to minister to the people around me, in my church and in my community. So as we're doing that, our role shouldn't just be assign tasks. Get the work done, right? Build the ship, get the wood, divide the work, give orders. Granted, my job, I am like told to give orders, right? I am supposed to like move people around, get stuff happening. But it's so much more than that, because our goal is not just to accomplish the task, but we're trying to lead people to the yearning for the goodness of God. That's what we're trying to lead them to. Because is God's goodness vast and endless as the sea? Yeah. Every characteristic of God we can think of, his holiness, his justice, his love, his mercy, his grace, they're far beyond what we can even imagine. So that's what we're yearning after. And that's what we're trying to lead others alongside into, right? Because the ministry you're getting ready to go into and that I'm in, it's not about us. It's not our ministry. We're doing God's work. And the best way to lead people into that is to get them to yearn for the vastness of God's goodness and the endlessness of his love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful and in awe of you. Lord, we cannot comprehend who you are fully. But Lord, may we have that longing to know you better, that longing to be in your presence. Lord, may we daily, hourly, every minute, Lord, be lifting up our eyes and our hands in praise to you, because you are worthy. And Lord, may we not forget to look back at the great things you have done, to look back at how you have led, cared for, and guided us. And Lord, as we go out and minister, we seek to share you with those around us. May we lead others by example of yearning for the vastness of your goodness and your endless love. Lord, may we rejoice in you, for there is nothing else worth rejoicing in. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you love us so much more than we can even imagine. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray.